This is an interview with Bill Howell of Embler, Oregon, on January the 3rd, 1998.
Yeah, Mike, start Bill, if I can get just a little bit of brief background, like when you were born, where, and how long you've been in this area, and your background or experience, just briefly, relating to being in the Grand Ronde Valley, the watershed here.
Sure, Jerry. I was born in 1927, and my home was on the banks of the Grand Ronde, about a mile southeast of Embler, and lived there as a resident until 1961 or two, which time we moved to the present location. But we still farmed the ground down there.
So we've been the ranching.
Yeah, it was my father's home when he grew up there.
Do you remember how long he was here, or when your family first came here? Just roughly.
No, not really. Dad was, I think, born in 1896, and some of the land, it was on that ranch. I don't know when my grandfather acquired that. Mm-hmm. Dad added to the
ranch. But your grandfather originally came here.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can't tell you when that was.
Mm-hmm. Been a few years ago.
Quite a while. It was, mid-1800s,
yeah,
I would guess. Or 1870s or something of that nature.
Because the country first got settled, about 1860s, the first,
yeah,
or 61, two.
So if Dad was born in 96, they could have come out here and whatever.
Right after 70.
Yeah, 80s.
Mm-hmm. And you've been farming then ever since then?
Yes.
Right in this Embler area?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to, Bill, go through a few things like we have, just, your knowledge, experience, or observations, and one would be like the Grand Ronde River system through the valley here, of change of, like, the water itself, the flows, or anything dealing with, like, vegetation along the creek of any, mm-hmm, changes, particularly the cottonwood communities or the willow communities along the creek.
Well, as I remember it, I guess the thing I remember most, that most of where I grew up was river bottom land, mm-hmm, and we had annual flooding.
And I, like during the spring melt, snow melt?
Spring melts,
yeah.
Spring runoff, you could almost count on annual flooding, and there's marks through some of that bottom land where the river just went through it. Mm-hmm. My first good recollection of really what any changes were was after the 1948 flood. They had a more or less cooperative arrangement to start a diking program here in the north end of the valley. So along in the early 50s, well, or mid 50s, there was an extensive diking program to protect the floodplain. And that was cost shared with the Corps of Engineers, and it was supposed to leave a certain specific type of dike that we would maintain a flow of 6,500 second feet to qualify for the cost share. And that, in my opinion, has been very successful. We've raised good crops. It's good productive land. It's not 100% protection. It never was intended to be. And but anyhow, it's done well for us. The problem we have today is that diking system is eroded and it needs some repair.
How extensive was that through the valley? Do you remember?
The diking? Well, it from the confluence of Catherine Creek, which is up on what we call used to call Fay Bridge, north is nearly all diked. Mm-hmm. I'm not qualified to say how much is diked above there, but there was some.
Well, it seems like most of it that was right around the Davis ground, you know, the Davis.
Yeah, up in Catherine Creek. Now that's that's a different program. They did it. Yeah,
well, I think some of that was even earlier because see that Tule Lake was drained sometime.
Yeah, that's a whole different program.
That was, you know, of course for the turn of the century.
Yeah,
that was, you know, way long ago.
Yeah, they had a different kind of a program up there. And there was still a lot of diking and dredging going on up there during the 50s. Mm-hmm. But I'm not really familiar with how that was put together. And
was that just on the Grand Ronde here, or were there anything back?
Basically, it's Grand Ronde. Mm-hmm. Willow Creek and the tributaries pretty well weren't affected by any diking.
What about flooding in that area back up Willow Creek? Do you remember how much extensive or problems there have been over
there? Yeah, there's some. It's not major. Mm-hmm. There's some flooding. The Century Farm, the McKenzie Farm, very, very wet. Excuse me. And it has some annual farming, but the way he manages that, it's grass and cattle, and I don't know what else he'd do with it.
I've never been up in there during the flood season.
It's just wet. It's not a floodplain like we have down here. No. The last flood we had, which was it 91? Oh, it's been since then. We had one a couple of years ago.
Well, 96. I saw 90. The Corps of Engineers flew it, and that was during February, I think, when they flew.
Yeah, we had, the Soil Conservation District got some numbers on what they thought. And then in 91, we was looking at 15,000 plus acres in this area that was flooded. But off the top of my head, I remember 1948 was major. We've had what we thought was sort of major floods periodically through the 50s and so on. And then, of course, we had the big ones in 64, 65.
65 was the biggest.
Yeah. And then we had the usual periodic things that, of course, we had the dike for a lot of protection until 91. 91 was very major. 91 was not supposed to be a flood year. We didn't have the snowpack in the mountains. We was feeling pretty comfortable, but it came down in a bunch.
Do you remember about what months that was?
I think we're getting up in, and I'm guessing, Jerry, around the 1st of May on that. The water people have dates of runoff, but they don't necessarily correspond with flood, as I remember the flood periods.
Yeah.
And it can happen any time, really. Yeah. Well, February of 95.
Well, even December, because that was before Christmas when the John Day Bridge went out.
Absolutely.
And the whole valley was full of water.
Yeah, I had cattle over on a floodplain over there that I'd wintered on year in and year out. And we went to a wheat convention at Reno, and I got a phone call. We were flooding up here, and the cattle were bunched up on a little high ground. I got home, and I had to bring them all over in this 20 acres out here. 200 head of cows, and the mud was like that. I mean, that was the 1st of February in 95.
It looked like maybe, you know, whatever, two-thirds of the valley is underwater, you know.
Yeah.
That started just before Christmas.
Yeah,
I remember trying to go to California. Had to go up to Washington to get there.
Yeah. As far as other kinds of changes, the quality of water, and I've made this statement in meetings a lot of time, that I'm suspicious that our quality of the river in the Grand Ronde River in the Imbler area is most likely better than it was when I was a kid 10, 12 years old. I'll sort of qualify that. In those days, we did not have major irrigation down here. We really didn't get a lot of irrigation until the early 60s.
Well, it was pretty much dry land farming.
It was all dry land farming. All dry land farming. So there wasn't any withdrawals. Mm-hmm. And the river still went dry. Well, there's still some neighbors that's still alive down there that, you know, we can remember playing on the sandbars, and if you jump real good, you go by and not get your feet wet across the river. To put it in a nutshell, today, and there's several of us who've been irrigating for quite a while and observed this over the years, it seems like the water lasts longer in the season than it used to, and it recovers earlier in the fall. I have no data or scientific basis to say that we're getting return flows, but I think we are. Mm-hmm. Something's happened.
Well, some of the research I've done, like what's recorded at LeGrand or up above LeGrand there, as far as flows like that during the summer, that shows that, you know, it goes dry there, but then it's increasing down this lower end of the valley.
Yeah. I think we basically, Jerry, if you want to talk about reservoir, mm-hmm. the only reservoir we have is in the soil through the irrigation. Right. I think it's creeping back in, but that's supposition. Mm-hmm. The quality of water in comparison, when I was a kid, it not only dried up, you had stagnant pools, green with scum. See very, very little of that anymore. It's a cleaner stream from that respect. Most likely there's not as much brush along it. The diking took out some of the brush. But just natural depredation, I guess, of the riparian area. And I say natural because I can show you a place now that the banks just plummet off. It's never been touched. It's not grazing. It's not, to me, herbicides or anything. It's the fluctuation of the moisture. And a lot of times you get a high water condition in the spring, and when it goes down, the bank goes with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's saturated.
So we've lost a lot of brush. Yeah. And some of it's been cleared, but a lot of it's just been a natural process.
Along that line, do you recall, as far as cottonwoods, of how extensive?
I don't recall
through this area, is it mostly?
Yeah, I don't recall ever seeing a lot of cottonwood in this area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of thornbrush, and whatever happened to thornbrush, whether it winter killed or whether it was a natural aging process or. I've thought at times it might have been herbicides. Mm-hmm. We've lost a lot of thorn brush along the riverbank.
Was it much willow, do you recall, or is mostly
thorn brush? Not a whole lot. Mm-hmm. No, not as I recall. Mostly thorn brush. Mm-hmm. There's a few willows along, but as far as the direct bank willow, no.
Now, because up around Catherine Creek, that's, you know, real heavy the willow up there.
Yeah. It's pretty well mixed. Mm-hmm. Pretty well mixed. Flood control has been a major item with most of us down in this reach. It's still a major consideration.
About how close did the floods get, like to Imbler here?
Oh, Imbler's no danger to it. No, there's enough grade down there.
Because that drops off fairly fast.
No, you don't have any population problem there.
Do you recall anything, like during the flooding season or that, of course you go over the sand ridge going back towards Island City, that's high, but when you start dropping down from Conley from there into Island City in more recent years of any,
not necessarily
flooding problems, but where that goes underwater or
no,
used to be.
No, not in my lifetime.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of Willow Creek will get over the highway down
here.
Yeah,
I know that.
But far as between here and LeGrand.
Because you got those sloughs of what, Pierce Slough and Wright Slough, I believe. You know,
yeah, well, water's been up a little bit right there by, I guess, Wright Slough, where the fertilizer plant is now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Conley. Mm-hmm. I've seen water back up in there, but that's surface.
That's what
Not surface water.
It comes down off Mount Emily.
It's Mount Emily.
Yeah. Drains from there. It's just another area. I think it used to be wetland, you know, before.
Might have been before they. Yeah. That was, I don't know whether that was a dug ditch through there or whether it was.
Yeah, that's what I don't know.
It darn near looks natural.
It looks natural. Looking on aerial photographs, there's been some areas they've straightened out.
Yeah.
You know, definitely, you know, when they go straight line, then you can see where they've ditched down through there.
Now, the old.
A lot of that, the old wigglies, you know.
Yeah, the old channel that the state ditch replaced made quite a dent out in there.
Mm-hmm.
But a big share of that's been shoved in and cleared, and unless you know what to look for, you don't see it anymore.
Well, from the air, and then too, like when the Corps of Engineers just flew in 1996, it filled in a lot of those, you know, you can see where the little channels were.
Oh, yeah.
Flooded, you know, you can still see the remnants, you know, of them there, or the photographs.
You can see them, but a lot of them are shoved in.
Oh, right, yeah.
There's pivots running over them. And all that.
Well, that McAllister ditch, you know, that was down through, that's all been shoved in where, you know, you just don't see it anymore, except the swale. That's in there.
Now, I didn't see the change, but I've seen the progression of the state ditch. You most likely got all of the numbers on that.
Well, I haven't talked to Bud Jones yet. Of course, he lives, you know, right there.
Well,
I've
Bud's
got, like, the dates and some of that. But.
Bud's a real good reference on that.
Mm-hmm.
That's come quite a ways. I don't like the looks of the state ditch. It's a personal thing because it's not controlled.
Mm-hmm.
It's still eroding and still vertical banks and so on like that. But that started out with a horse and Fresno and with a 6x6 ditch.
Well, that's it, I've got that. But when you measure the 6x6 to what it is now, there's been a lot of.
Another reference you might want to talk to is Wilford Hammond, Willie Hammond.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
In fact, I just was visiting with Willie New Year's. We played cards together, and he got to talking about that. They formed a district to finance that thing, and I think they assessed themselves about 2 bits an acre. On some 40,000 acres. That's quite a project to put that in. Well, that's been a major change over time.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it did open up a lot of productive farmland out there.
Mm-hmm.
Another one that you might want to talk to, Jerry's Burr Courtright, if you haven't.
No, I haven't. I know his dad was real heavy.
Yeah, that's where and it's secondhand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You talked about the Tule Lake and the
right. Mm-hmm.
and some of the composition of what's out there,
mm-hmm.
Of the soil type and everything. Mm-hmm. I've heard Burr talk a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the other major change that I've seen is through the irrigation and what the productivity of the valley, not only from dollars and cents, but the environmental status of the valley, I think's better today than it's ever been. This place right here, when I was a kid, I remember that fence out there and the road being covered up with dust,
mm-hmm.
sand, just from blowing. Now, we still get some blowing in the valley, but water's made it possible to keep perennial crops in, grass seed, for instance, the mint, more or less. But those things don't blow.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing, the water's made it so even if you recrop wheat or something, that you're pretty well on an annual cropping. There's very little bare ground sitting
mm-hmm.
out there. And
yeah.
use any judgment at all, there shouldn't be hardly any.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so. I think the irrigation has really been a plus for the economy of the whole area here. Something you might want to look at, Jerry, when I was active and when we tried to build the the Grand Round project, the two dams. And I sat on that committee from its inception till it disbanded. In fact, I was chairman of it when it finally disbanded. But in Dave Baum's era, and I think it was the, I want to say Industrial Development Corporation, Economic Development Corporation, LeGrand, Johnny Lemon, Dave Baum, and Merchants and LeGrand put together some money. And they initiated a study that was called the Tri-County Study, Tri-County Economic Study, something of that effect. And been a long time since I read that, and I don't even know where it's at. It's got to be someplace. Mm-hmm. But what that said, that the future economic viability of the three counties will allow Union and Baker County hinged on the development of the two dams, the Grand Round and Catham Creek. Whether or not that would have anything to do with your report, but you know, it would be interesting to go back and fish that out. I don't know whether it'd be in the county court or the Chamber of Commerce. It was in the extension office at one time. But it might be interesting to see how they looked at it then.
Mm-hmm. What about beaver work along the Grand Round?
Used to be a lot of beaver. Quite a few.
Do you remember as far as what, roughly what dates or period that?
Well, let's, yeah, when I say that, that's when I was growing up down along the river, and that would have been '40s. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I used to go down and fish on the riverbank, be down there in the evening, and you'd hear the old beaver tail slap and watch them, and there was quite a lot of beaver.
Mm-hmm. They're pretty well widespread.
Well, I can't really say that. It was in that area along our property, which was a mile or two. Mm-hmm. But I don't see that anymore. I don't see any beaver sign at all.
No. Mm-hmm.
Used to be a lot. Well, there's still muskrats along the river.
Mm-hmm. That area there where the beaver were, do you call it, were they like working on the thorn brush, or were there enough willows in there? Do you remember?
I think there was enough. No, I never did see them use the thorn brush.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's enough softwood willows and red brush. And
mm-hmm. That they're, you know, carrying through them.
No name.
Yeah.
You know. We didn't have any cottonwoods in that reach down there at all.
Mm-hmm.
It was all willow or some other soft kind of brush. There is a little patch of cottonwoods in the area I'm speaking of. There was an island that's never, used to be never grazed or anything. And it had some big cottonwoods, still has a few.
Mm-hmm.
A former owner went in and cleared that up, thought he's going to get a lot of pasture out of it. Well, there wasn't any pasture there to be had if he'd just thought about it. There wasn't any acres involved in it, but he did clear out a real habitat.
Mm-hmm.
Got it was full of deer and birds, and nobody went into it. You couldn't get around in it.
It was right in the bottom land?
Yeah, that's floodplain.
Yeah.
It's right. It's just about a mile out of Imbler there at the big ranch where the white fence is.
Back up river.
And you just look back past the house, you can see the cottonwood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a little stretch, there might be 3 acres in it, that's all he got out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But they knocked over some pretty good sized cottonwood in it.
Do you remember what they did with the cottonwood? Did they?
Oh, it just piled up and
burned it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know I talked to one guy, he said a lot of times back up towards the Grand, I guess they shoved them over like the old channel, you know, and just covered up with dirt to...
Oh, really? Just buried them?
Yeah, some of that. Mm-hmm. Of course, I know there's others where you see remnants where they try to burn them, you know, mm-hmm. and like that. Because that was one question that came up, anybody use cottonwoods to cut them, you know, what was it used for? But
well, this was done just, 8 years ago?
Oh, I see.
Something like that, and it was just to get rid of them.
Yeah.
And there wasn't too many cottonwoods went down, but a lot of brush, thornbrush and willows and all of that was cleared out. They did leave a few cottonwood there.
Yeah.
But they're isolated now. They're,
yeah, compared to
yeah.
Some of those old thickets were, you know, really.
Oh, you couldn't. I've been in that thing. You crawl around on your hands and knees.
Mm-hmm. What about as far as fish runs? Bill, do you remember down through that as you're growing up?
Well, you see, this is all dirt bottom down here. So the fish biologists tell me there's no spawning in a dirt bottom.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, I've never seen a salmon, and all the salmon that used to go up, and still whatever goes up, has to go right through this.
Yeah.
And I've never seen
never
one.
Seen that, yeah.
The nearest thing to any kind of an anadromous fish, one spring, when we used to fish it a lot, and I haven't fished it for 40 years, one spring at bank full water, or less, as it's going down, we were catching some pretty nice, we call them trout. And I think what they were was the smoke going out.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that until years later because I didn't know what they were, but they were trout-like mm-hmm. fish. That's the nearest thing to ever observing any kind of an anadromous fish.
Do you remember seeing any eels in there?
Eels?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, by virtue of sucking them into a screen on an irrigation pump.
Mm-hmm.
Not too much. I see a lot more eels over in Willow Creek and in smaller waters. It's full of them.
Is that still now, or?
Well, that's been. I haven't seen that for quite a while either because I haven't been pumping on it. But I did have an irrigation down there several years ago, and that was one of the problems, sucking those dang eels up in. But and the Grand Round, on occasion, I haven't done that in several years. Of course, we've changed our system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I have on occasion picked a few up. Got stuck on things, and they somehow they get in the screen, and then you got a mess.
Do you remember about when that, as far as when you're doing that?
Oh, I would think. Oh, in Willow Creek,
yeah.
The 70s.
In the 70s.
Mm-hmm. And I haven't pumped in there hardly since then.
Mm-hmm.
70 to early 80s.
Did you ever get up into the upper Grand Ronde area much as far as fishing or see anything, know about fishing?
Years ago, I did some fishing up there. I'm not an avid fisherman. I like to. I just never had time to do it. I've never caught a steelhead. I never fished for salmon.
Mm-hmm.
I've fished for trout up above Tony's and through Tony's. Clear up. We used to hunt up in Limberchim.
Oh, yeah.
Elk hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And I fished the meadows up there, but we just got a little eastern brook out of the pond.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little dam down at the bottom of it. I'm not, I'm not any authority up there at all. I wouldn't know any comparison. To me, to drive by, it looks just like it did 40 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, they tell me it's entirely different,
mm-hmm.
but it's now you've taken photos. I suppose you could make a comparison.
Well, yeah, it's that really where you can see a great deal of changes like that. Working with aerial photography and then the old light photography like that. Of course, there's some where, you know, unless you, I think like a, so many of us, that you go by it day after day and don't pay any attention to it.
Yeah.
A lot of times, and, you know, it doesn't, you know, just looks the same.
Yeah.
If you get down and really look at it, sometimes, you know, species difference as far as the timber types, you know, on that.
Do you see a difference in the riparian?
Not so much there as much as it is, you know, back
up on the uplands.
Yeah, the uplands there, you know, particularly the lodgepole, of course, you know.
Oh, yeah, you'd see that.
And so that's a massive change.
But what you see from the road.
But from the road there.
You won't see a
whole. The only thing I can, and I don't recall, it's been so many years, was some of the beaver dams back up the Grand Rock. That, cause I remember falling one time when we were out there working. And to this day, I can't remember exactly where it was, but I think, you know, a lot of those meadow areas probably are changed some in the, you know, along those bottom lands.
I think they use, like Tony's meadow, I think they use it different than they did when Tony was alive. And that goes back a long time. But when we first started elk hunting up there, he'd bring in these. What I remember that I saw was steers, most likely three-year-old steers up there in the fall of the year, and it was belly-deep grass. I don't think he pastured that much in the summertime. It was sort of a prior to wintering grounds, they'd bring them in and they'd be in there. The big cattle, fat cattle.
Well, it's pretty lush, you know, back up there. But I was thinking, you know, down farther, down towards where Meadow Creek comes in, down river there.
That's always looked pretty used to me. Yeah, I never did see a lot of tall grass anywhere down there. But as far as visibly seeing a change up there, no. I want to go back up. And sort of see how this log placement. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I was in there photographing this last fall, every summer, late summer, where they put some of.
Well, that's pretty controversial, and it's got a high risk. But the people that, you know, this fish thing is, as being a board member of the watershed group. You have to, you take a responsibility that you're there because of fish. Now, how best can you serve that cause? And quite frankly, I was the first go around. I was opposed to doing it because of the ice flows. My wife grew up at Elkana or whatever they call it now, headquarters camp.
Yeah.
And I've got pictures in here of the old ice jams they used to. Jam up against the bridge trellises, and her dad and all the Greek crew up there, you know, that's why they spent their winters taking the ice off of the railroad trellises. I've got a few old black and white snapshots of that. So we know there's a tremendous ice flow up there. And the first year they did that, they had some movement. And I don't know really what harm it caused. There might have been a little damage downstream, but the fact that it moved made a lot of people upset. Well, they come back and said, well, that we didn't do it right. And so I was asked to go up and really look at it, which I did with Paul Bainey. And the stretch that they wanted to do this year, I guess I was convinced it was worth the risk, because certainly it wasn't a fish stream the way it is. There's no habitat there. And if it will create some pooling or some slack water or maybe a little water depth in the summer months, most likely one of the better fish products that we have spent money on. If it don't wash out. And I'm holding my breath,
well,
Jerry.
That's the thing, where they dump the trees in there, of what happens, you know, under high water, whether that stuff will hold or not. Way up the Grand Ronde towards, going up towards Camp Carson in there, where they put those in, that was looking real good. Yeah. Where it seems like it's stabilized.
You don't get near the, I don't think you get the ice.
Flow. Well, you don't have a heavy flow because you're at the end of that thing, too.
And where we did put this last one, it's still not on the main stem.
Right.
Exactly. It's still a grand round, so you call it main stem, but it don't have
all the feeders,
sheep creek and all that stuff coming into it. So
once you bring all of those into it.
Yeah. So I may have to eat crow on that thing. It's one that I felt it's good for the fish. It just may not work for the other end, and I guess it's worth a try.
Yeah.
A lot of the things that concern me in the way of projects is, are we getting our money's worth?
Mm-hmm.
And we won't know that for many years through the monitoring process and evaluation and so on. And I'm sure that we have spent money where we should have saved it.
Mm-hmm.
But,
oh, yeah.
But you know, you're never 100%, are you, Jerry?
Oh, no. And,
no.
You know, but that hopefully you learn, that, you know, to learn to monitor, and of course you can get that too. Well, having conditions that everything looks real good for a good number of years, and all of a sudden you get a real nasty year, and you can
wipe it out.
Yeah, just like
look at the M. Naho.
Oh, sure.
Of course, what's happened down there this year is most likely, they say 100-year frequency. That might have been a 200-year frequency. I don't know, but that's natural.
Yeah. Well, it is, Bill. It's like over in East Eagle.
Yeah.
You know, when we're working over there, they talk about 100-year frequency. Well, about every 2 years or every year, we'd have a 100-year storm go down through.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is, to me, is something that it's good to talk about, but it isn't actually, you know.
There's no predictability. None at all.
You can get storms come through there. And of course,
just like this 91 flood was, the highest water I've ever seen down here was in 91.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can talk about 64 and 65 or the rest of them. That was...
Yeah, because I didn't realize that, because I know, you know, 64, 65.
It was higher
that.
On the bridge marks down here. A lot of people don't realize that. Another concern we have, and I don't know the answer because nothing's ever been done about it, but ever since 1948, I'm aware of a concern about the Reinhardt Gap is a plug.
Mm-hmm.
We can't get rid of the water.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of studies after 1948. The Corps of Engineers had a drainage study, and they made certain recommendations which had to do with the gap, partial diking, some storage, etc., go along with it, and they could alleviate our flooding. That didn't happen, of course, and they chose to pursue, that was the birth of the Grand Round Project, the two dams. They chose to go that way and conserve our water rather than flush it. And I think that was most likely good thinking. Now the hydrology gets into it now that say, no, we don't want to, we mustn't lower that because you'll create a long-term head cut and maybe take the moisture out of here. There is a recent evaluation or study, if you will, of the lower reaches down here that's in our CS office. In fact, I've got a copy. I can't lay my hands on it right now. But it was recently done with funding from the Bureau of Reclamation and NRCS, and sort of brought everything into focus, what we need to do about the, if we rebuild dikes, what's needed to do, and so on like that. And it also addressed the gap, the Reinhardt Gap. And the thinking there is that you move it back and make it wider. And you can go down in high water, and there's hardly any current down there, even high water, compared to what we normally have up here, and still it starts backing up. Well, the Corps did a preliminary cost study for us, and prohibitive, I mean. But I personally am not in agreement with the concept that they had of hauling out all the removal. They've got plenty of bank on the outside to gain 20-30% of the channel capacity if they just take a big, heavy track hoe equipment, pull it back. That's a theory that I personally have, and I think some other people share it. So you could kick the heck out of the cost factor. But we have some other problems. Elgin got a little wet here a couple of years ago.
Well, Clark Creek this last year.
And Clark Creek went on a rampage, and now you've got two or three houses down at the lower end of it. So all in all, it would be very difficult to get any program going there. That's most likely would do more, along with the diking, repair or diking. That's what's necessary for flood control, and we're really concerned about it. We have some of our prime lands are prone to being flooded.
On the Grand Ronde project, whereabouts was the location proposed for the dam up to Grand Ronde? Do you remember, Bill, roughly?
Well, I think it ended up right below Spring Creek. The original site was just above it, somewhere in that gun range,
yeah,
the old rifle range area.
Mm-hmm.
But they were losing too much water capability. And I think, as I recall, they had a site to right below Spring Creek, so they'd put that in the reservoir.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Catherine Creek was up there.
That was right, the Hall Ranch.
Well, it got the lower end of the meadow area in that gap in there.
Yeah, right where it narrows down.
Yeah. Yeah, I still remember most of the numbers involved. I didn't have the site located.
Well, I had the report on, well, the Corps of Engineers did on the final impact study on Castle Creek, but on the one in Grand Ronde, I had some, you know, that was in proposal there, but I never saw anything.
I think I've got all of the authorization reports and everything boxed up. I'm not going to throw those away. I like some of the other stuff. I still go back to them. Interesting enough, I mentioned earlier about the expertise, the way they write memos and the literature today. I have one, it's almost handwritten, and it goes, it's 1941. I don't recall the name of the professor, but I think he was a professor out of OSU. And he make an evaluation, and in the Grand Round, he says, I talked to an older Indian today that saw a salmon last week. Now this, I think, was in August of 1941. He saw a salmon. Isn't that spawning time in August?
Yeah, you'll get the, of course, the Chinook are coming up in, May, June is when.
Yeah, but the actual spawning.
Pattern, but spawning goes into August.
Yeah.
Maybe
well, it was sort of, I thought, well, I wonder what's the matter with the numbers, you know. But he didn't elaborate. He says he saw one salmon.
Mm-hmm.
Then he got over into Catherine Creek, and he made about the same kind of a comment that they'd seen two or three or something. And I believe it was in on the North Fork that he made quite a few comments about the stream being plugged with brush and that it was restricting the passage of the fish. And I wonder if that was the forerunner of the logging practices that cleaned all the streams out.
Well, you have that, see, Bill, in 41, that already been logging up in there on South Fork, and they're pushing that road up to North Fork, and
yeah,
they just sidecast all that stuff right into the stream.
Is that what happened there?
See, your road was right along the,
yeah,
the stream edge.
So they just plugged the stream?
Yeah, they just pushed all that brush and rock and...
I didn't know that. I thought maybe it was just a natural thing.
No, that was all man-made.
Man-made.
That was the first
logging
he did up in there.
Yeah, no wonder he said that.
Well, that was it. See, in 19, the fisheries survey they did on that, and that might be the same thing.
Yeah.
Or if it wasn't, it was...
Well, and when did the logging practices end? They didn't have a Logging Practices Act, but the policy was to clean all the streams. You couldn't cross them, you couldn't leave anything in them.
Well, that's right. However, that was way into, you know, when it got serious about it, it was in the 60s.
And, yeah.
Remember, in the 50s and early 60s, there was still common practice just to skid down the draw bottoms, you know, with the cast, because that was the easiest way to go. pulled everything down off the hills, and as way all that South Catherine, they harsh logged that, pulled it down off the hills into the bottom, and then just pulled it down the bottoms, you know, with the cats.
Mm-hmm.
And same way up the Grand Ronde, that was talking with, you know, some of the people worked them on Emily there.
When
that
we
was still going into the 50s where they actually used.
When we talk about the current mm-hmm. woody debris in the creeks and so on, mm-hmm. I don't know, I'm getting tired of hearing it. Somebody in the crowd, well, just a few years ago we had to clean the thing, you know, why didn't they make up their mind?
Yeah.
it's getting to be real old, and they'll never live that down.
Oh, no.
I say they, I don't even know who incorporated
it. Yeah, who started that?
Whether it was ODF&W or the Forest Service.
Yeah, I really don't know where
it came from.
But it was, you know, kind of practice to
yeah.
yank everything out.
And the loggers, I can still remember them being upset, oh gosh, we just tied our hands, you know.
Oh yeah. You go through the cycles without
yeah.
you know, really thinking of, you know, what you're doing. It just, it gets one extreme to the other. It's like the tide, it goes, you know, one direction or the other without sitting down and
yeah.
seeing
yeah.
You know, the practicability to it, or why are we doing this now?
Yeah.
Do you remember, as far as Indians coming and fishing over this way, you've seen any time?
I don't.
Yeah.
They
but it seems like, you know, you went into that period when everything was horseback, and then going through wagon travel, you know,
yeah.
it was real tough to get around, because one person talked to their folks used to go from Cricket Flat with a wagon
yeah.
over a full day's trip to Catherine Creek and just camp there and then catch salmon and
yeah.
pitchfork them and then go back.
Did that period name the Fish Trap Hill, they call it, out of Elgin?
Might be where, I understand, Bill, in right in there around the mouth of Indian Creek, you know, right in that area, they used to put traps in there and I guess probably gig them, you know, a combination.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if that's where.
Well, Indian Creek is listed mm-hmm. as a salmon-bearing mm-hmm. Stream, as well as bull trout.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And but I, as far as I'm sure, there's still some people around. Bernal Hugg still alive? No. What about his book? Did he?
Well, I've referred to the book a lot,
yeah.
you know, and there's a lot of good information, you know, in there,
yeah.
parts of it. And his son, I talked with him, and I was trying to find some old pictures, and he didn't know, you know, where. There's a lot of Elgin itself, but to get some of this outskirts, that's a tough one to try and.
LaRose Hibbard, possibly,
mm-hmm.
could
mm-hmm.
might dig into something.
Okay.
That's a good name, and that kind of thing. And of course, she and Dick have had a river ranch down here,
right. mm-hmm.
all mm-hmm. her married life.